Tappers, what's going on? It is Tuesday, February 19th. We are at the tail end of February somehow, some way. We are just moving through the months. Hope you guys are all well. We are 2 days away from being sort of out of the downtime in sports, being the NBA getting itself back, college basketball and the NBA kind of running at full steam, kind of starting on Thursday this weekend. Definitely Duke, North Carolina on Wednesday. I mean, there's a lot there going. Marquette also gets going again on Wednesday as well. We'll talk about that as the week goes on. Just a mention to you all, if you did not know or you did not hear yesterday's podcast, I will be doing daily taps all week. Tapping the Keg will not happen this week. We'll be back next week. Mitch and I just couldn't find a time to get it done. I will say that you may see the daily taps go a little longer than 20 minutes if possible. I may move ourselves to four topics just because I got more time to talk. I got more things on my mind, guys. Like I gotta get these shots up, and when shit starts flying, I gotta talk about it. So basically, we are gonna make sure that we have a loaded program for you. So we'll make up for the fact that there is no Tapping the Keg this week if you guys are Mitch Ross fans. And if you are Mitch Ross fans, I'm sorry, you'll have to wait a week. The fan mail, the signed, the bras that are being asked to be signed, the asking of phone numbers for Mitch is just too much. I can't take it. I get them all the time. I'm sick of it, but you know, it's what I can do. So anyways, we are going into the <That's>, I just basically, I'm sorry, I got a reply to my story, and I made a comment about like, oh, we're gonna have some fun tomorrow, and I my buddy's like, I just got a Heath Ledger vibe to your sort of story. Like, yeah, I have my hood up. Obviously, I'm a little heated. I'll be honest with you. I didn't come to this podcast where I felt like I was going to be in a bad mood. I actually thought, like, whatever. I have a few things to talk about. I'm going to talk about Matt LaFleur. I'm going to talk about Mike Moustakas playing second base. I'm going to talk about the Badgers pulling it out against Illinois with Ethan Happ on the bench. I mean, we had stuff to talk about. And then... Marcus Thompson of the Athletic San Francisco writes a column about Giannis joining the Golden State Warriors. And officially, we are underway with Giannis rumor season. The next 2 years, enjoy it, embrace it. It's going to be a lot of fun. But here's the thing. And I guess I kind of went on a little bit of a Twitter rant, if you will. I kind of got some shots up on Twitter. I was the Russell Westbrook of Bucks Twitter on Monday night, just sort of going off, just sort of like, all right. And I got some subtweets. I saw y'all. It's okay. But here's the thing. I don't really care what you guys think. I don't want to burn bridges. I'm not one. I remember Aaron Nagler. It did like a Q&A a few years ago, and he's like, what's the one thing you regret when you started to like write and do this thing? He's like, not burn that many bridges. And while I get that, it's still fun to light a few on fire. Like the Athletic San Francisco's editor-in-chief has now blocked me on Twitter after I said he carried the water for his reporter. So that's good. Just to add him to the list. Adrian Peterson, Juliet McCure, Jimmy Nelson. So I now have coast to coast. I'm blocked. So that's great. I think I'm at about 9 or 10 people where I know they blocked me. That's fine. That's not a problem. I don't really give a shit. That said, the article itself, I mean, look, Giannis and Steph Curry playing together would be a lot of fun. But the whole thing was this land of hypotheticals. It was all done for clicks. It was all a dead period article. I have no problem with saying that Giannis might leave. And that speculated where Giannis could go. But we are so fucking far out from that, that there's so many pieces to discuss and talk about that you literally cannot write that column. The whole column is one giant fucking hypothetical. And now, it's okay to be like hyped up about the idea of Giannis and Curry playing together. They obviously have some sort of chemistry. It's evident. But, and then he's like, well, Steph, you know, Giannis picked Steph first, and that shows like he loves Steph. No, idiot. The whole reason that he took Steph first is because Steph picked him first the year before, and he was paying him back a favor. Giannis is a loyal dude. The guy is a goddamn golden retriever. Like, he is not somebody who you fuck around with loyalty with. So that's why he took Steph Curry first. That was number one. Then number two, which was more offensive than really the whole Giannis the Warriors thing, it was the fact that he writes that the Bucks don't have that top tier talent, and they'll probably bow out early and lose to a team like Philly or Boston. All right, let's unpack this a little bit. First of all, the Bucks are 20-9 on the road. They've won 7 straight on the road. They have the best road record in basketball right now. They cannot be fucked with on the road. They also, oh, by the way, they've only lost 5 games at home. Oh, yeah. So the Milwaukee Bucks, and they're beating teams by an average of about 9.5 points. That's good for like the best 20 teams in the league. Most of the teams that have win margins of that total have won the NBA Finals. The Bucks get no fucking respect because people do not take the time to watch them. They're not on national TV enough, so writers like Marcus Thompson don't actually sit down and watch the Bucks. This guy has not watched a single Bucks game this year besides the ones that they played against the Warriors. It's just clear. It's evident. How the hell can you put Philly, Boston, or maybe Toronto's name in there? Philly and Boston especially. Philly is a 500 team on the road. Same with Boston. They're frauds. They're not that good yet. Yes, could they get to that level? Sure. But they aren't there yet. So to say that the reason Giannis might leave is because they just are going to keep early exiting, I mean, yeah. Is that a possibility? Sure. Sure. And if the Bucks were to bow out in the first round, it would be the biggest disappointment in the state of Wisconsin, probably since the Packers lost to the Giants in the 2015 NFC divisional champion or divisional round. That would be on par. And to be honest, you know, if the Bucks lost to the semifinals, I don't know if anyone's really feeling that good about that. A lot of people, including myself, believe that this should be an Eastern Conference Finals team or bust. If they get there, I don't think the noise around Giannis will be that loud. I don't think it's going to get there yet. I do think, though, you got to keep winning. And we all know this. He made the point about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar forcing his way out of Milwaukee. Now, at the very end of his article, and he didn't include any of the fucking context about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar leaving, which Bill Simmons and Ryan Russillo, two very smart guys about the NBA, did include on their podcast today. They weren't talking about Giannis, by the way. But they were talking about Jabbar leaving because they were just talking about the unhappiness of people in the NBA and how unhappy the league is, which I want to get back to. But let's keep it on with Jabbar. So Abdul-Jabbar wanted out of the Bucks. The Bucks were not a playoff team. They were struggling. They had kind of hit their peak when they won the championship in 71, and then it kind of went downhill from there. But Jabbar didn't go to the media. Granted, totally different time, obviously. But Jabbar had sort of told the Bucks, like, hey, I want to be traded. Like, please, let's just figure out the best possible solution. Let's get this done and figure out a way to get me to a place where I want to be. And I think he wanted to go to New York or LA. I'm sure you could look through the annals of the Wikipedia and probably find where Jabbar wanted to play. So that all said, they basically figure out a way to get him to Los Angeles. And they trade him. And he has his second career with the Lakers, which you could argue is better than what he did in Milwaukee.
He did some incredible shit as Lou Alcindor in Milwaukee. That was a not, that shouldn't have been a thing to bring up. It's just, oh, well, Jabbar left Milwaukee, so why can't Giannis? Totally different thing. It was in the fucking 70s. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar had changed his name. He was looking for sort of this spiritual reawakening. I mean, there's so much different shit that was going on back then. It's entirely different. It's entirely different. And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar obviously went to UCLA, has the roots in California. Anyways, so let's go back to the unhappiness. So what was brought up by both Simmons and Russillo when talking about Jabbar and forcing his way out is how the entire league's unhappy. Russillo's been on this for a couple weeks now about how just nobody seems happy in the league. The only guys that seem happy are Curry and Giannis, maybe, and that's it. Everyone else kind of seems a little moody. Steven Jackson, I think it was Steven Jackson. I forget who Russillo quoted, said it's the AAU's fault, and you know, and that's. And Chris Bosh. I'm sorry. Chris Bosh told Simmons it's the AAU's fault and that these AAU teams just, you know, pick and choose who they want on their teams and all this stuff. And like, I do think that has something to do with it. I think there is part of that AAU culture. And the reason why I think Giannis is so different and why this column again makes no real sense is the fact that Giannis is not like these dudes. How many times do we have to have this conversation that Giannis is entirely different? Giannis is a bird of a different feather, man. He doesn't want to work out with LeBron James. He doesn't want to work out with anybody. He doesn't want to give anybody his secrets. Also, too, almost all foreign-born players have stayed with the team that they've played for. And we talked about this on Tabby and Keg a couple times, Mitch and I. Like, pick your favorite foreign player that left. Tim Duncan was the closest one. There was a real opportunity that Tim Duncan would have left for Orlando. But other than that, and that was the only time it came close. And Duncan's not, I don't know if I'd count Duncan. He went to school in Wake Forest. Like, he isn't necessarily like a foreign-born. You know, Milwaukee was basically, Milwaukee is Giannis' hometown. That is, Greece is still his, where he's from, but Milwaukee is his hometown in America. Just like Memphis was Marc Gasol's hometown in Memphis. And they traded him away at the last end, and it was really fucking hard on Gasol and the city of Memphis. There's a reason Dirk hasn't left Dallas. Dallas has been home for Dirk for years, and he's one of the most iconic Dallas athletes to ever play the game. There is something different about foreign-born players. And that was not at all mentioned in the column. Thompson mentioned the LeBron thing. Fine. But he needed to sort of, you know, feel this out a little bit more. I just think when you're writing these kind of articles about potentially these super teams and yada, 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 you got to at least have a little smoke. You got to have at least something to tie it together. I don't have a problem with people thinking that. Picture Giannis with Embiid, which I actually don't think that works because you saw what Embiid did at the All-Star game. But, like, picture Giannis with I'm trying to think of another name. The Warriors are, I think there'll be some Laker talk. The Knicks are probably going to get good again, and it'll be like, well, should he come to New York? There's this great Greek population, and he would be a god. He would be this bigger-than-life superstar. I promise you that will be a thing, because that's the New York media, right? New York media loves doing that. And maybe the Knicks are the only team that can compete because of that strong Grecian population there. Maybe that might be a differentiator. That could be a real factor that Bucks fans have to worry about. But right now, guess what? I got mad. I got triggered. I'll admit that. I probably took a ricochet shot at Eric Neame. I shouldn't have done that. Sorry, Eric. I don't know. You probably don't listen, but that's okay. I don't listen to Wisconsin-based sports podcasts either. It's kind of like one of those things where you don't want your ideas, you don't want their ideas to become your ideas. It's not like a mean thing. It's just I never want to take somebody's take directly from them. And if I do mention somebody's take, I want to at least credit them and say, here's what it is, but I don't want it to form my entire conversation. So this is a long way of saying, like, I'm going to just enjoy Giannis. I might get triggered by this. I get triggered when I see bad columns. And that's what that was. That was a bad column. And I called out The Athletic for their bullshit and wrote it in a thread. And their editor-in-chief, instead of engaging me in some conversation and saying, well, yeah, it was an idea we tossed around. We're just having some fun. Lighten up a little bit. I'd say, all right. I'm not going to respond. He blocks me. That's okay. He wants to do that. That's fine. I don't need some thin-skinned pussy from San Francisco. I don't ever imagine me getting a job with him. So that's okay. I'll live. All right. Let's move on to other things. So like I said, you guys are like, wow, this is a long topic for a Daily Tap. Yes. But I like to think that these are almost like mini tapping the kegs this week. So we could go long. And I'm just kind of feeling it. Like I got a little like napping, like not a good nap. Like one of those where I nearly fell asleep for the night on the couch watching Vanderpump and then kind of caught a wind. Might have got electrocuted by open circuit. And now I'm like, now I'm just rolling. So Matt LaFleur, just really switching topics. Matt LaFleur met with the media. All the coaches met with the media today. It was a lot of fun. I don't know if there's anything to really glean from it. You know, I think the interesting of the young staff that LaFleur didn't really think about adding a former head coach on his offensive staff. I don't think that's a big deal. Some might look into that. Some might poke at that. I don't foresee that as an issue. I think having a guy like Mike Pettine is good enough. I mean, look at what the Rams did with McVay, having Wade Phillips on the defensive side of the ball as a former head coach. It wasn't like he was dealing with a bunch of head coaches on the offensive side of the ball. I think there is an ego part of that. I think there is a really sort of fun, like this is a total change of pace. I think this is something that we're not used to as Packer fans. These are all young guys coming in and are hungry and are wanting to win and wanting to grind. You heard that quote, maybe you did, maybe you didn't, about how Trent Dilfer said Matt LaFleur was Mike McCarthy before Mike McCarthy stopped grinding. These guys are gonna grind. These guys are gym rats. Like Aaron Rodgers, he and LaFleur also made the point, like, I'm gonna be in that quarterback room all the time. Like, Rodgers is going to be able to bring ideas off of Nathaniel Hackett, who, again, former quarterback, Luke Getsy, former quarterback, Matt LaFleur, former quarterback. So you have three guys there that Rodgers can have meaningful conversations with about how he wants the offense done. And Rodgers will get to talk with guys who are like minds, who are like him, who aren't necessarily, you know, former football players, but they didn't play the position. So Rodgers, in a way, there's a no-excuse mentality. I think Nathaniel Hackett is an underrated piece of this whole conversation. He's a fire breather. He's a guy I think that you're going to love on the sidelines, seeing him just get jacked up, being down on the field. He's an on-the-field guy, if I remember straight. I think he is. So and LaFleur and him have talked about they didn't really work together. They know each other. There's some commonalities. I'm sure there's been some bonding going on. And Getsy's relationship with Favre didn't really matter, but he liked the idea of just the sort of the feel of how he interviewed. He apparently knocked it out of the park. Another interesting note, a couple of other things that were worth noting were Pettine did not make the decision on Joe Witt. Joe Witt was a decision made by LaFleur. I found that interesting. I really think LaFleur wanted very limited amount of McCarthy guys. And I don't know why. I think that is one of those great... You want to talk about the one question that I would ask Matt LaFleur if him and I were sitting down having a beer together at Nomad. If we were just having a PBR. And that's a random bar to pick. It's on my mind. But if we were having a beer together, and I just didn't really acknowledge who he was, but I knew who he was. I kind of gave him a head nod. And I said, Matt, so just want to know. Did you just want, like, completely a brand new look to this team? And that's why you didn't keep, you know, guys like Joe Witt and longtime McCarthy guys? I think he'd say yes. I think there would be a thing of, this is a new regime. This is a new thing. And Mark Murphy, and I don't think Mark Murphy had any influence in this. I know Mike Lombardi had the whole thing about Mark Murphy last week, which someone peed in Mike Lombardi's Cheerios, by the way. I think that whole, not to sidetrack, but the whole Mark Murphy, Mike Lombardi rivalry is a clear shot at the brow because McDaniels, who's Lombardi's boy, didn't get hired by the Packers. That's blatantly obvious. And if anyone didn't see that, they are fucking idiots. That is exactly the whole, that's the whole reason. That's where they play the game. Lombardi was boys with, he praised Brian Flores. Remember, he was out in front on Flores. I will give him that. I mean, Flores then pitches a great Super Bowl, but he was out on Flores. He really pushed hard for Flores to get the Arizona job. He pushed for McDaniels for the Packers. He is so well tied in with these coordinators for the Patriots. Matt Patricia, he's been nicer too than I think a lot of media types around the NFL. I wonder if that makes Tate Frazier pull his hair out. Just a thought. But anyways, sorry for the ricochet shots. It's just firing, man. We're just bang, bang. Cactus Jack style here. So anyways, moving back to that. I think what Mark Murphy probably shared with Matt LaFleur, the player feedback about just how the play, you know, that veterans council, that we will never know what that conversation was like with Rodgers and others. And I think LaFleur reviewed the notes and reviewed what players had said and said, all right, these guys are just sick of everybody who's in here. And we just need to completely turn this around. And that's what he did. And I got to give him a lot of credit for it. And it's a risk, 100%. There is a lot of risk, calculated risk in this. But I still think it's worth it. And I'm really excited for this season. I think it, you know, it'd be very Packers-like. We are a long way to go. But it'd be very Packers-like in a year where the Bucks and Brewers could both find their way to the NBA final or the respective championship series in their sport. If the Packers just come in and remind everybody who daddy is. Just saying. It's kind of setting up. We are in a bizarro timeline, though, I will admit. All right, a couple other quick notes. So I taped the podcast about Mike Moustakas yesterday, and I said, Mike Moustakas, he's not going to play third. He's not going to play second base. He's kind of too chunky to play second base. Lo and behold, it's announced today. Mike Moustakas is gonna play some third base or play some second base. So that came as somewhat of a surprise to me. I guess that the whole they have 6 weeks to try it out, and that Shaw I think was already sort of there. And yeah, I mean I don't hate it. I'm very interested, I guess. So Mike Moustakas is only 6 feet. He's 225 pounds. He's a little shorter. And Travis Shaw is 6'4". I don't have his weight here. Maybe Moustakas is one of those guys who doesn't carry his weight well. Like, look, I am definitely one of those who actually does because I'm 6'4". And Murph 2 weeks ago said I was like 40 pounds lighter than I was. And I was like, I could probably Andy King you right now. Like, that's how I feel. Like, I much appreciated the whole gesture. But, like, the thing is, Travis Shaw's 230. So they're about the same weight, but he's 4 inches taller. And what is interesting about the second base position is you usually want someone a little shorter. So that's where Moustakas is more of a natural fit there. I worry a little bit about his lateral speed. But, again, the shifting and everything like that, I don't know if it's that much of a problem. Also, too, and I kind of mentioned it, but it was reinforced by the Brewer teammates. Everyone's so excited to have Moustakas back. There is an obvious feeling of welcome back, dude. We're so happy to have you. And it was a great team chemistry move. And that cannot be disqualified when you're looking at why would you sign a guy and why would you bring somebody back. Also, too, Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, still not signed. You'd imagine that they would be. I can't believe that this is still going on there. But finally, wrapping up a longer than usual Daily Tap. I'm having fun. I'm having a good time. The Badgers got themselves a victory. They definitely looked like a team who had been off for a little bit. And Ethan Happ had maybe his worst game of the year. And Greg Gard made the ballsy decision to bench Ethan Happ down the stretch. And, man, I don't know if it works against every team, but, you know, Brad Davidson, Khalil Iverson answer the call. They kind of lead the team. Reavers has a big putback dunk, and he kept Happ on that bench. And, man, it's a move, man. It's not necessarily one that I would have expected this year from the Badgers, but it was one that needed to happen. Happ was just out of sorts. He was not himself. He played, again, one of his worst games of the year, and Gard made that decision. And I got to give him a lot of credit because I don't know if a lot of coaches would say, all right, we're going to let other people sort of carry this load, as he kind of talked about in his press conference after the game. It's like, man, that is really tough to do. And it's such a great learning experience for this Wisconsin team. I mean, Davidson and Iverson, this is a huge sort of, I think, momentum and confidence booster for those guys, Reavers in a smaller sense. I think this is one of those things where it says, look, you guys do not need Ethan Happ to win this game. And I think that's what Greg Gard was doing. And I'm not saying like Greg Gard was hoping they lose. I think he would have put Happ back in if they were struggling or if they looked out of sorts. He would have tried to rotate Happ back in. But I do think there was a part of Greg Gard that said, I want you guys to know you are good. You can do this without Ethan Happ. Ethan Happ doesn't have to carry this team. You can do it. And that showed through. You have to feel good if you're a Wisconsin fan watching that game. Even if how ugly it was. Even if it was one of the more sort of non-aesthetically pleasing basketball games. You saw your Wisconsin team win without Ethan Happ. And there have not been times this year, the year before, which was obviously dreadful, where you could say that. Where you could point games and say, they won this game with Ethan Happ being dog shit. That is a massive accomplishment. And I'll tell you what, and I know this might make Badger fans uneasy, but it's the team I watch. I watch Badgers too. I watch tonight's game. That when Sam Hauser kind of took over for Marcus Howard in Georgetown, Marcus Howard was hurt. He was playing poorly, but he was hurt. He didn't play the rest of the game. He only played 2 minutes. That was a massive lift for Marquette because in the same vein, they showed them they didn't need Marcus Howard to be the man all the time, that other guys could step up. So I think that's what Wisconsin should be getting here. We'll see. But yeah, they're definitely trending in the right direction. The Badgers head to Northwestern night game on Saturday. Probably a pro Wisconsin crowd. Still tough place to play, even if the Wildcats have been awful this year. All right, that does it for the podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed a longer Daily Tap. If you didn't or did, let me know. I doubt we'll do like 30-minute rap sessions all the time. Just had a lot of Giannis thoughts, and it was fresh. And see, whenever it's fresh, man, I can go and get rolling. So hope you guys enjoyed. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll continue through this dead period. We're almost out of it. We are few days away. All right, beer's on me. See ya. Bye.